Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
Bring it up, Kenny. Final hour. Power hour. You better you bet on Westwood One Sports. Nick Costos, our amazing crew, Matt Moore, and you. The Power Hour and every hour here on You Better You Bet, brought to you by our friends at BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. You know, we usually are able to get everything into the show. I don't know if that'll be the case today. Some stuff may have to be left on the cutting room floor, you know, because there was a pretty epic Game 7 on Saturday night with many, many juicy angles to dig into, like an onion, peeling back them layers. And if you're an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, you're crying. If not, you're probably loving every second of it. Joining us right now to talk the NBA Finals and to try and put this San Antonio run into perspective, one of the best in the business, our good friend Matt Moore. Action Network, Locked On NBA, Buckets Podcast, Substack on his Twitter handle at HP Basketball. What's going on, my friend? Welcome back.
Not much, man. Excited for the finals. It's going to be a great series. I'm excited to get into it with you. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to the NBA draft. Going to be a very weird and exciting, I think, offseason as well.
As someone who is a student of NBA history, you know, like, everything that's happening in the inner workings of the league on a day-by-day basis. You do an awesome job covering it. How do you put into perspective what San Antonio has been able to accomplish here so early in this run?
It really breaks a lot of precedent. You know, the Thunder were the youngest team in finals history last year. And the one before that was the 2015 Warriors. And we're seeing this trend now of these young teams being able to have this kind of success, in part because they're having fewer injuries, right? The Thunder got hit with them. You know, the Thunder got hit with J-Dub and A.J. Mitchell both going down. But we're seeing that experience isn't the pathway to success in the playoffs. And that's a very big differentiator from the rest of NBA history, that typically you need veterans and you need experience and you have to take your lumps. You have to go in, you have to lose and then you break through. Jordan had that. LeBron had that. The fact that Victor Wembanyama is four wins away from not having to do that, to me, sets like a crazy kind of precedent for what's possible in his career. Because it really is like Victor Wembanyama is the driving force of so much of this. Dylan Harper was great. Stephon Castle was great. Devin Vassell was great. Mitch Johnson's been great. All these guys have contributed. It always takes a team. But Wembanyama is such a singular force that he is capable of rewriting what we know about NBA history and what we know about champions. And that, to me, is both exciting and a little terrifying when you look at what's possible for the rest of his career.
Expand on that, please.
So I think with Victor, he's starting. This is his third season, and he has already gotten second in MVP and just beat the MVP in a seven-game series and been this transformational
on the road.
On the road, and had these moments, and had like the game one three-pointer. And the, you know, the dunk that he has in these games is just insane, where he just dunks through Chet Holmgren. And the idea of him being able to set the tone at age 22 as the best player in the world and NBA champion, I don't know that I can. Magic is the only thing we've ever seen who set the bar this high this early. And he did. And, you know, it's important to not forget that. But again, Magic had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar next to him, you know, and like one game seven without Kareem. But it's still this level of force and impact and greatness already, because he's only going to get better. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means for what he's capable of. I don't know if they win the title, what this sets off. Is it going to be, we thought, oh, the Nuggets are so good, they're going to be back, they're going to win again. Nope. We thought the Celtics are so good, they're going to be back. Nope. We thought the Thunder, well, they're different. They're young and they're so deep, they're going to win again. Nope. And so are we in a new age of parity, or are we going to continue this age of parity? Or are we going to enter the age of Victor Wembanyama? And that, to me, I think is what's really fascinating about the next four games.
If the Oklahoma City Thunder had a healthy J-Dub and a healthy A.J. Mitchell, forget about A.J. Mitchell, let's just say J-Dub's healthy, who wins Game 7 and why?
I still kind of lean Spurs. I think I didn't like the matchup necessarily for J-Dub in that series anyway. He didn't really have a counter in terms of who they could throw on him defensively. But part of this is also, it's almost impossible to kind of project because J-Dub is out for so much of the season. Like, the Thunder learned how to play without J-Dub. They had so much success without J-Dub. And J-Dub's an awesome player. And if you think, like, well, it was a close game, and it was relatively, it was like 11 with 5 to go. It was a close enough game, and J-Dub is so good that that's the difference. I don't blame you for that. Like, J-Dub's a great player. But I still kind of find that the way that the Spurs were able to do a few things, including taking away almost all of the Thunder's easy transition stuff. They just got back and shut down everything in transition. Even when they turned the ball over, they got back and got stops. And that was like, that really showed the weaknesses in the Thunder's offense, that they don't have enough mechanisms in their half-court offense to be able to compensate when somebody takes away the easy stuff. That I don't know if J-Dub is the difference. I still kind of think the Spurs just kind of had them.
This may be a hot take, and I acknowledge that. So I'm watching the game on set, and this will lead into a question. So I'm watching the game on Saturday night, and I thought the announcers, and I've praised, you're wearing an NBA, and NBA, I thought they did an amazing job, right? SGA's exhausted. He's not getting a lot of help. And I'm watching the players that are shooting for Oklahoma City in Game 7. And my thought is just, like, the Spurs are just better than they are. Like, they are. At least without J-Dub and without A.J. Mitchell. Who knows what would have happened otherwise. You still like the Spurs. Reasonable minds can disagree, right? So, now that the Thunder are done for this year, and we're going to project this moving forward, I think we can accurately say, right, the Spurs will be better next year than they are this year. And they just beat OKC. So there will be some, and I don't know where you stand on this, right? And I'm going to ask you, who will say the Thunder just need to run it back, make some moves along the margins, and it'll be enough if they stand hope for better injury luck next year. I kind of think they need to do something bigger than that. Reset the financial clock, put themselves in position to really, really beat this team in the next couple of years. Where are you at here on the Thunder moving forward and what Sam Presti needs to do?
Well, there's two thoughts here about what they need to do and what they will do. I am kind of the mindset of they don't need to do anything. I'm very much like, I think they're fine, because we do this where it's like, well, they can't beat this team. Yeah, but you don't know if you're going to see that team. You don't know if you're going to see that team, because I think San Antonio definitely has OKC's number.
Doesn't that have to be the assumption, though, when you're building your team, like, we're going to have to beat them?
I don't think so. I don't think so, because you don't know you don't know if you're going to face that team in terms of, are you going to face that team fully healthy? Right. Or are you going to face that team missing a few guys? Are you going to be fully healthy by that point? And then you also have the kind of element of, I do think there are teams that match up better with San Antonio than OKC. And that may sound crazy. We do this where it's like, well, they're better because that's how they win, because they're better. I don't think the Spurs were better than the Thunder. I just think they match up well with them. I think they're close enough and they match up well with them so that they can be better than them in 4 out of 7 games. And there's a very big differential there. The Thunder are not going to do anything radical. To talk about going for Giannis, to talk about going for these big, big changes. No, I think Lou Dort's gone. And I think iHeart might be gone based off of the fact of what their luxury tax bill looks like next year. I think it's very likely that they reduce that luxury tax bill by letting those guys go. They believe in Thomas Sorber. They really like Nikola Topic. And, Dort obviously has his own limitations. And so I think the team will be different next year in terms of who's getting minutes and where, but they're not going to change much of anything. And I don't think they need to. I think that they're good enough. They won so many games. They made it to the conference finals again. They made it to a Game 7 again, like, without J-Dub and A.J. Mitchell. I just don't think you can overreact because we always kind of think the grass is greener with a different type of build. You want to be better for sure. If there's an opportunity, go get it. If it's something that doesn't fundamentally change who you are, but they have a big belief in who they are as a team. And I think they have a good reason to do that.
What do you do with Chet Holmgren?
Oof. I think you have to be patient. I think it's hard to really criticize Chet for this series because of, yeah, he had a really hard
really?
He had a really hard time when he was guarded by Victor Wembanyama. Like, this has been a matchup problem for him historically.
But Matt, can I push back a little bit? You know I love and respect you. Like,
go for it.
Yeah. I've used this example a couple times, but like the first time with you here. If you're going to go out like John Starks in Game 7 against the Rockets, 2-for-18. Like, shoot the ball. You can't go 1-for-2. Like, that's where, like, I want to push back. Like, yes, Wemby's better than he is, and yes, Wemby's impossible. Also, you can't shoot the ball 2 times, make the money he is, be considered the second best player on the favorite to win the NBA championship. You can't shoot 2 times. Like, he's basically white, taller Ben Simmons on Saturday night. What do you do with that?
I think what you really do with it is you see, to me, it's more about Chet hasn't developed his own on-ball game. He doesn't have post-up moves. He did a lot of guys. Victor doesn't. Victor doesn't have go-to spots. That's insane. That's correct. He's the best player in the world in the NBA Finals, and he doesn't have go-to spots. But Chet, you know, he's been kind of taught to be this defensive presence and to be a trigger man. Like, there's mechanisms where he finds opportunity where they want him, but he doesn't have like a lot of on-ball stuff because he hasn't developed that part of his game yet. And that part of his game will come along with more strength and conditioning. He's had so many injuries also that have set him back in his development. I just think he's going to get there. Look, if this is who he is in 2 years, and yeah, you get a problem, but you have time. You have time for him to develop. I'm not surprised that he was limited in the series. I would have to go back and be like, were there really a lot of shots that he passed up that were good looks? Were there like really opportunities for him? Because when we talk about how much did you shoot, to me, that is more in the hands of like if you're a primary ball handler, if you're there running sets for you. And I don't know that they were in this series. And it's not to say that Chet didn't suck. Yeah, he got killed. He got absolutely annihilated. It wasn't nearly as much of a force as they needed him to be. And he's got to be better. He's got to develop that part of his game. But for where he's at in his curve, I'm not worried about it because I just think that you have to be able to give him time, given his pedigree, his prospects, his skill, and what he's shown in terms of his impact. I'm just not willing to go ahead and crush the guy because to me, it's like there's so much possibility for him to be able to move into that player over time.
Don't you have to shoot, though?
You're going to have, I got to go back and like look at these opportunities and see like were there chances where he got the ball?
Can I offer a counterpoint?
Yeah.
I don't think it matters. You what? Can't have it where Kenrich Williams shoots more in Game 7 than you do if you're Chet Holmgren. Like, you can't have that. You can't shoot 2 shots.
Again, for me, this is, if we're going to praise the Thunder for how much of a system they are and how much of an organization they are and how everyone contributes and knows their role and plays together, we can't do that and then also be like, Chet Holmgren needs to break the offense so he can go get a bucket. Like, that's just not how.
But they lost.
I understand that's how that they lost, and I get that. If you want to say Mark Dagnall's got to run more sets for him, I'm down, right? And there are players where I'm like, you got to shoot more. Like, you have to. And if there were shots that I felt like he could have taken that he passed up, I would tell you. I would be like, yeah, he definitely record scratch, and that's a problem. Like, I can name you, like, a bunch of players in these playoffs that just passed up good looks too often. But Chet Holmgren, to me, in Game 7, that wasn't part of the problem.
So that's really interesting, right? And I want to frame this as, look, like, I watch the games. Matt is more in the weeds than I am with this stuff. And I fully, it's why we have you on the show, right? Because you're great with this stuff. So I want to phrase this question this way and frame it this way. Do you feel like the consensus opinion, and maybe you don't have an answer that I want to ask, that the consensus opinion among people that follow the NBA the way that you follow it, which is more intense on a day-in, day-out basis than me, that people more agree with your train of thought than mine, where this was circumstances that led to Chet. And you're not saying he played well. I want to be clear on that, right? But you think this was more circumstantial and more to do with the Thunder offense and him not breaking the system than it is that he needed to shoot more. Do you think amongst people that like watch the game the way that you do that that's the consensus opinion, or that more people agree with me?
more people agree with you. I think I'm in the minority because I think, you know, some of the ideas like, well, make yourself available, make yourself present, make yourself put yourself in these positions. And then when you do have the ball, make sure that you're aggressive and finish and attack. And even if you get blocked, you get blocked. Right. Rather than just like being passive. Nobody wants passivity, not coaches, not players. Nobody wants passivity. And so, like, I think that is the perception of him. For me, this is about it wasn't I am much more accepting of the fact that this wasn't his matchup. I just think that for every series, for 95 to 99% of all NBA players, it's not, you know, 98% of all NBA players. It's like they have series where it's like it's not their series. Even stars have like not their series. And the best ones can't have that, right? Victor can't have a series where it's not his series. But I've never compared Chet Holmgren to Victor Wembanyama, and I won't ever, because Victor is just like a magnitude above. And
that's not an insult to Chet, it's a compliment to Wemby.
Right. And but for me also, it's just a matter of I have not seen from Chet a level of creation on ball to be able to find those kind of opportunities. And to be honest with you, you know, three-pointers is kind of where I thought he might be able to have some success in this series. And the Spurs respected his three-point shot and they angled enough to be able to take those away. And I thought the biggest problem OKC did was they went to too many simple actions instead of moving the ball more. Like, they didn't move the ball enough. They didn't get the Spurs in rotation and then rotate, find a shot. They just kind of took like, oh, and here's one mechanism, and I guess we'll try this floater over the 7-foot pterodactyl. And that's not a way to beat Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs.
Give me 15, just to punch it home. You referenced it quickly, but 15 seconds. The Thunder should not trade for Giannis, in your opinion. Why? In 15 seconds.
Because it fundamentally shifts their timeline too much and the money impacts are too great. They're too well balanced and set up for the future to take that risk. Giannis comes with a lot of health risks and I don't think it's worth it.
If I'm just going to use, I will use the Bulls as an exact, and you will know the financials of this. Should Oklahoma City trade J-Dub for a top pick in the draft and reset the financial clock? 15 seconds. What about that scenario?
I would be open to that, yeah. If you can trade J-Dub for an absolutely elite pick, then I absolutely think you should do that. Maybe like a number five, just because of the financial repercussions.
Within the realm of possibility? You think, is that within the realm, you think?
I think it's within the realm of possibility. I think teams would definitely listen if you called up and offered J-Dub.
I hate we're 17 minutes into this and we haven't talked about the NBA Finals. Because we had a lot to sift through off of Saturday night, obviously. And maybe you have your pick all lined up. Who's going to win the NBA Finals and why? San Antonio -210, Knicks +170 at BetMGM.
This is a really tough one for me. I've gone back and forth on it. I'm going to go with my gut here. I think the best bet is probably on the Knicks. I think that's Knicks to win the series. I think the Spurs are a better team. I think the Knicks have run unsustainably hot. They are the number one effective field goal percentage team on jump shots. So they've made all of their jumpers and the number one team in opponent effective field goal percentage on jump shots. The Knicks have made all their jumpers. The opponents have missed all their jumpers. That is like the story of the NBA playoffs and that's really hard to sustain. However, there's so many things I like about this, including the like this is a very narrative, but it's an emotional thing and it's very real. After game seven, at the end of game seven, you saw how emotional Victor Wembanyama was, how thrilled he was, how excited he was, how tough that series was. You saw Stephon Castle and Dylan Harper. And it's like, we did it. We beat the Thunder. And that like emotional letdown, I think, is really, really difficult when you go into another series versus a team that's like, yeah, we don't care. We also want to win. You know, congratulations on being the Thunder. That doesn't mean anything against us. The matchups are different. The makeup of the team are different. There's like all these dynamics that are very different. And so it just comes down to I like the Knicks and how they match up with this Spurs team in particular.
Betting question for you. Yep. Outside of the finals. If the Knicks win and if the Spurs win, is it just as easy as Brunson is finals MVP and Wemby is finals MVP? Probably an easier case for San Antonio than it would be for the Knicks. What about finals MVP in about 30 seconds?
Look, if Cat is able to play to his absolute capacity, if he doesn't make mistakes, if he hits all of his threes, if he forces Wembanyama out of the paint and then punishes it with passing, there's a pathway here. There's a pathway for Cat MVP. Do I think it's likely? No, I do not. Like, everything I watched when I went through the tape is just like, oh God, this is going to be a nightmare for Cat more than even most people deal with Victor. It's really brutal. And the way that the Spurs played him, it was really bad. So I'm like very worried for Cat in the series. But if he played to his absolute capacity, Cat could definitely win finals MVP. If the Spurs throw the kind of attention that they're going to on Brunson and Brunson simply can't kind of counter it, I think that possibility is there. Castle, I have a little bit more. I have more doubt of Fox. I have more doubt of. The only other one I would say is I do think there is an outside long shot chance for Mikal Bridges.
I don't disagree with that. Or I don't know, be one of the two. Yeah.
Bridges plays very well in this matchup. He is, he was, I believe, their second leading scorer in this matchup. And he has found a way to get high quality looks and knock them down. He's obviously playing with a lot of confidence coming off the conference finals. I think that Bridges actually has an opportunity where if he's able to anchor the second units and score as well as get opportunities in the starting unit and score, that's going to put him in a position to be able to score enough. If Brunson has a bad series, but the Knicks are able to win it in tight games with, you know, limited offense and Bridges comes through, I think Bridges could win.
Final question. 3 weeks and a day away from the 2026 NBA draft. What is your hottest or strongest take as it regards the NBA draft? Where the expectation is the Washington Wizards will select A.J. DeBonsa first overall?
I think there's value on Cam Boozer. I think there's a lot of value.
Go first?
Yeah, because he's like this long shot. And a lot of the draft analysis is leaning a lot, like the late draft analysis is leaning towards him. Darren Peterson is the scout's favorite, and he might just push back up to number one. But I do think that that Cam Boozer, especially if the Wizards decide that they're going to trade Anthony Davis, because Davis has been like, yeah, I'm not convinced. You know, are you? I don't think this team is good enough. And they're like, we'll see. And acting like he's too good for the Wizards. Well, okay, fine. Get him out of here. We don't need that kind of nonsense. Then you just draft Cam Boozer. You put him next to Alex Saar and that works. Or the Jazz, whose father, Carlos Boozer, works for them, move up and get Cam Boozer. I think that's possible. If another team comes through and trades with the Wizards, think it's possible they take Cam Boozer. I just think, to me, Cam Boozer is the best of those three prospects. To me, Cam Boozer has the best value as far as from a betting angle. I do not think the gap between A.J. DeBonsa and Cam Boozer is so wide that there's not value on Cam Boozer.
Will the internet explode if Cam Boozer goes first overall?
It'll be a shock to a lot of people, yeah. It'll be pretty stunning just because, one, Peterson was the number one pick for most of the draft cycle and might get back there again. And there is this kind of thought that AJ has cleared himself as the number one guy. The odds are, at some places, are very, very high on AJ to go number one. And that's part of my thought is, like, I just don't think that these three guys are separable at that point. I think that they are very close with the ups and downs of all three.
Wow. Matt, you're the best. Appreciate it. Hope to talk to you during the NBA Finals at HP Basketball, Buckets, Locked On NBA Action Network. Stay well. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Our friend, the great Matt Moore, joining us here on You Better, You Bet. All right. On the other side, we have a lot to do. Stanley Cup Final, Canes Knights, pretty good matchup. The Carolina Hurricanes have made history en route to the Stanley Cup Final. What is it? I'm going to tell you. And I'm also going to tell you who's going to win this year's World Cup coming up next here on a Monday.
The NBA Finals are set. It's a 1999 rematch. Knicks, Spurs. Will New York win its first title in 53 years? Or will San Antonio continue its championship legacy? Now with Wemby leading the way. Game 1 tips Wednesday night. Westwood 1 Sports.
My dad passed away unexpectedly. Of course, it was awful in every way, but we are very grateful that he had life insurance. So even after he was gone, he was still able to provide for us. And that's why I have life insurance for my family. Ethos.com. They make it fast and easy to get covered. It's 100% online. You get a quote in seconds, and you can apply in minutes. You get covered the same day.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/game. That's ethos.com/game. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required. Rates may vary.
Doug.
There's nowhere I wouldn't go to help someone customize and save on car insurance with Liberty Mutual, even if it means sitting front row at a comedy show.
Hey, everyone, check out this guy and his bird. What is this, your first date?
Oh, no. We help people customize and save on car insurance with Liberty Mutual together. We're married. Ah! Me to a human, him to a bird.
Yeah, the bird looks out of your league anyways.
Get a quote at libertymutual.com or with your local agent.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
If you want unlimited talk, text, and data on a super fast network, Big Wireless will sell it to you right now for as little as $70 a month. Or you can buy it from Pure Talk for half of that. I'm talking about unlimited talk, text, and data for just $34.99 a month. But wait, there's more. When you switch to Pure Talk, you'll be switching to an American wireless company that's committed to keeping 100% of its customer service in this country. I appreciate that. In fact, that's why I switched. I also appreciate the way they support our vets and our skilled workforce. Dial #250, say micro, and get unlimited talk, text, and unlimited data for just $34.99 a month. That's #250, micro. Stop paying twice what you need to pay for the service you want and switch to an American wireless company that actually stands for something.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
I wrap up the show with our bets for tonight coming up in a little bit. Some stories we need to hit, though, before then. Today is June 1st in the year of our Lord, 2026, and it is currently 11:29 a.m. Eastern Time, which means we are a little over 4 hours away from A.J. Brown potentially being traded to the New England Patriots. ESPN's Adam Schefter was up on ESPN, obviously, this morning saying that, and I believe I have this correct, I think on the Chiron that they were running, I have the volume off on the TVs, that he thinks it's likely, if it doesn't happen today, it's going to happen soon, but it could happen as early as 4 o'clock today. And the reason why it's 4 o'clock is because that is the time where, financially, with the way the NFL calendar works, it becomes more feasible for Philadelphia to deal A.J. Brown. So again, by the time we come on the air tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern here, You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports, we could be talking about A.J. Brown, New England Patriot. And if and when that happens, we'll discuss it. The part of the trade that interests me more right now, and I'll just give you an appetizer here because I want to save a lot of it for when it happens. The part of this that really interests me, not that the Patriots part doesn't, it's very interesting also, is what it means for Jalen Hurts. Now, I am a massive Jalen Hurts defender. And I'm kind of a Jalen Hurts fanboy, and I'm a lifelong New York Giants fan. I think Jalen Hurts is awesome, and I can admit that, right? I'm the one that has been calling for quite some time, and all of you said, oh, how could you say that? They'll never do it. Well, I was right. Sorry. That the Eagles needed to trade A.J. Brown. You're never firing the Super Bowl MVP quarterback, so what do? In a spot like this, you trade the diva receiver, even if we acknowledge he's great. And I'm not even saying it's all his fault, but you're not getting rid of the quarterback. So you trade the receiver. Okay. So let's say they do it. The Eagles have proactively, and remember what I said leading up to the draft, and look, I'm wrong a lot, but I'm right a good amount also. If they're going to draft Mekhi Lemon or a pass catcher, it's going to tell you A.J. Brown's on the way out, right? They sign Hollywood Brown. They sign Elijah Moore. Not that this is Calvin Williams and Fred Barnett, but they're making additions. Trade for Dontavian Wicks and give him an extension. Bring back Dallas Goedert. Draft Mekhi Lemon and leap the Steelers to do it. Draft Eli Stowers in the second round, pass catching inline tight end. So yes, A.J. Brown's going to be gone. But with A.J. Brown departing the building means that a built-in excuse for Jalen Hurts, and I'm a Hurts guy, but I can also be honest. a built-in excuse for Jalen Hurts leaves the building once A.J. Brown leaves the building. So what we'll have now in Philadelphia, right, with all the new additions in the receiving core, joining Devontae Smith, who is a stud, and you know, time will tell if he's a true 1A or if he's better as a 1B, like way better than an average 2, but not quite as good as the true alpha number ones. Maybe he is one. We'll find out this season. Saquon's obviously still got it at running back. And even with Jeff Stoutland, the longtime Grady offensive line coach gone for Philadelphia, the Eagles' offensive line is still going to be pretty good. New offensive coordinator in Sean Mannion installing a new system. Right, wrong, or indifference, and I believe it's right. The microscope's going to be on Jalen Hurts. A.J. Brown's going to be gone. What's the excuse going to be? And again, I'm a Jalen Hurts fan saying this. What's the excuse going to be? It can't be, well, he doesn't have A.J. Brown anymore. Their relationship deteriorated to the point they have to trade him. That's not an excuse. An excuse won't be, well, Devontae Smith isn't a true one. An excuse won't be, well, Mekhi Lemon and Eli Stovers are rookies. An excuse won't be, well, Sean Mannion doesn't know what he's doing. Unless Mannion turns out to be, you know, Kevin Petullo part deux. Brian Johnson part trois. I doubt it. Microscope big time going to be on Jalen Hurts this season. I'll answer this question tomorrow if the trade goes down and is consummated this afternoon. What happens if Jalen Hurts doesn't get the job done? It's a fascinating, fascinating question. You better you bet on this Monday. Nick Costos and you on Westwood One Sports. We'll do more on the Stanley Cup Final tomorrow on the show, but wanted to make sure we got a little bit of it today, because game one is tomorrow night in Carolina as the Hurricanes and the Vegas Golden Knights will play for the ultimate championship in the sport of hockey. Carolina destroys the Montreal Canadiens in Game 5, 6-1, and in doing so, enters the Stanley Cup Final. And think about the way we've been talking about the Knicks, right, and what a run this has been for New York. The Carolina Hurricanes have bested the New York Knicks in what the Hurricanes have accomplished in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Carolina, round one, sweeps the Ottawa Senators. Round two, sweeps the Philadelphia Flyers. Round three, Eastern Conference Final, loses game one to Montreal in overtime, and we're all thinking, oh, bleep, here we go again with Carolina and Rod Brind'Amour in the Eastern Conference Final. And they rip off four straight wins, including game two and game three in overtime, where they really took control of the series, and Montreal's dead tired by the end, and Carolina boat races them in game five. So do the math. The Hurricanes go 12-1 in the Eastern Conference playoffs, and become, literally, the first team in the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs to enter the Stanley Cup Final 12-1. Now, we saw a couple 11-1 teams back when the first round was best of five make the finals. The 1976 Montreal Canadiens, the 1981 New York Islanders, and the 1985 Edmonton Oilers. All three of those teams won cups, and all three were dynastic. That Canadiens team, that Islanders team won four straight with Billy Smith in net, and the Oilers, obviously, were at the beginnings of that dynasty with Wayne Gretzky, Mark Messier, Yari Curry, Grant Fuhr, and company, with Glenn Sather as the coach in the 80s. We have seen a number of teams enter the Stanley Cup Final at 12-2. The 2012 LA Kings, who beat the Devils in the Stanley Cup Final. The 2016 San Jose Sharks, who lost to Sidney Crosby and the Penguins in the Stanley Cup Final, and the 1995 Detroit Red Wings, who lost to the late Claude Lemieux, and condolences to his family, what a terrible story, and the New Jersey Devils in the 1995, Jacques Lemaire in the neutral zone trap, Marty Brodeur and company in the 1995 Stanley Cup Final. This is a historic run that the Hurricanes are on. 12-1. Entering the Cup Final. So on one side, you have this team, right, in Carolina, who have been banging their head against the wall for 8 years under Rod Brind'Amour, finally getting over the hump to make the Stanley Cup Final. As Shane Helms would say, stand back. There's a hurricane coming through. And then you have the Vegas Golden Knights, who, yes, only won 39 regular season games, less than a number of teams that did not make the postseason. Fired Bruce Cassidy with 8 games to go. Here's John Tortorella. 19-4-1. Carter Hart's been dominant. And I understand that the Avs, Cale Makar is not healthy, and MacKinnon gets hurt later in the series. It takes nothing away from the fact that the Vegas Golden Knights destroyed the President's Trophy-winning Colorado Avalanche, a team that many, including me, thought would easily skate to a Stanley Cup championship. A team with Stanley Cup pedigree, having won the Cup a couple years ago. And it's a fascinating juxtaposition. A 39-win regular season team against the team that just went 12-1 in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Carolina is the betting favorite at BetMGM at minus 145. The Vegas Golden Knights at plus 120. I think this series is a coin flip. You could talk me into any outcome, and I wouldn't be shocked. So if that's true, and any outcome is possible, Knights in 7, Canes in 7, Knights in 5, Canes in 5, sweep, I wouldn't be shocked if anything happened in this series. And if that's true, then I want to lean into variance if I'm going to bet, and I'm going to pick the series. I have bet the Vegas Golden Knights to win the series, and they are my pick, obviously, to win Lord Stanley's Cup. If I think it's a coin flip, then I'm taking plus money. Give me the Vegas Golden Knights to win Lord Stanley's Cup. We'll close the show with thoughts on the World Cup and the Champions League final in a little bit. We'll take a break in a moment here. But first, our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman, is here with the trivia question of the day. Bill, what do we got?
All right, Nick, I think this one might be an easy one for you, so let's see how you do. Victor Wembanyama, if the Spurs win the title and he wins Finals MVP, will be the fourth player in NBA history to win Finals MVP before his 23rd birthday. Can you name those three players?
So is Rick Barry's not one of them, right? He won at 23 years old, that's correct?
Correct. Rick Barry is not one of them.
All right, so Duncan is one?
Duncan is one, 1999, correct.
How many are there?
There's three players total that have done it.
Magic is one, obviously.
Magic's one. Magic actually did it twice. He won it at 20 years old and 22 years old, if you can believe that.
It's absolutely preposterous. So I'm trying to think of who the third is. I should get this, right, based on how you frame the question?
You should get it.
I will attempt to answer the question. I'll take a few minutes to think about it. We're 2 for 3 already. We'll think about it. We'll give you the answer on the other side. And I'm going to tell everybody who's going to win the World Cup this year right after this.
The quest for Lord Stanley's Cup is down to 2 Vegas Golden Knights, Carolina Hurricanes, whose names will be forever etched on hockey's holy grail, the Stanley Cup Finals, Game 1, tomorrow night, Westwood One Sports.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide and services to showcase your invention. Get started today.
Call 1-800-217-4380. That's 1-800-217-4380.
At Fisher Investments, we may seem like other money managers, but we're different.
What makes you so different than the rest of us?
We ensure clients receive unparalleled service at every step of the relationship.
Tell me more.
Our investment counselors focus on service over sales, prioritizing clients' needs.
How do you make money?
We don't sell any commission-based products. We have a simple management fee based on the value of our clients' portfolio. So we do better when our clients do better.
What about client portfolios?
We get to know each client, their finances, family, health, lifestyle, and more. And then we tailor a portfolio based on their specific goals and needs.
Your clients really come first then, huh?
Yes, we make them a top priority. Our goal is helping them achieve a comfortable retirement.
Wow, maybe we are different.
At Fisher Investments, we're clearly different. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com.
Investing in securities involves the risk of loss.
Empower!
After wanting one for years, Kevin is finally enjoying his new hot tub.
This is the life.
He worked with Empower to help him get good at money, so now he can be a little bad.
Oh, no, not my phone.
Oh, Kevin. Kevin's phone may be in hot water, but his finances aren't. Invest well, live a little. Start today at Empower.com.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets, but I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there. To learn more, go to safe.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
Today, BetMGM players will receive an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. To use the Boost token, add a parlay wager made up of any sport wagers to your bet slip and activate the token. If you win the wager made with the token, you'll receive extra winnings. Download the BetMGM app today. Bill Zimmerman, what was the trivia question of the day today?
The trivia question was, name the three players in NBA history that won the NBA Finals MVP at 22 years of age or younger, something Victor Wembanyama is going to try and do this series.
Okay, so we already got Magic Johnson and we got Tim Duncan. Those are the two easiest ones, right? So here's what I... Okay, so I think it's either Bill Walton, and I'm going to name some Finals MVPs this century. So 2000, it's Shaq, right? 01, 02, 03. Then Duncan is obviously older. Tony Parker's older when he won his. Wade in 05, that's what? Wade won in 06. So he's definitely, he's like 24 when he won. It's not Wade. It's not Chauncey Billups. It's not LeBron. It's not Paul Pierce. It's not Kobe. Oh, is it Kawhi? It's not Curry. It's not Iguodala. It's not KD. It's not Tatum. It's not Jaylen Brown. It's not Jokic. It's not SGA. It's either Kawhi or Bill Walton. I'll actually go with Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard is correct. Bill Walton was 24 when he won it.
Okay. Love it. How about Kawhi Leonard? Can we get Kawhi out of Los Angeles, please? All right. Good stuff from Bill Zimmerman. Bill is our executive producer to go along with our friends Tyler Morales, Kenny Henderson. Happy birthday to our guy Dan Turner today. Dan turns 50 today. Happy 50th birthday to Dan Turner and our friend downtown Mike Brown, who also doubles as the head coach of the Knicks. Thanks to our guests. Matt Moore and celebrity Spurs fan had a great time with Michelle Beadle earlier in the show today. We'll close with our bets coming up in a little bit. Let's talk a little World Cup. Starting in like 10 days. We're going to do a lot of soccer on the show. I'm preparing everybody for that. I love it. And I feel like we actually were talking about it before the show today, myself and Bill and Kenny. I know that the American sports fan like doesn't love soccer, but I feel like everybody loves the World Cup, so I think people will be into this. I've been watching soccer my entire life. I know the history, who's won World Cups, rivalries with countries. I'm going to give you really good stuff on the World Cup. So I'm watching the Champions League final on Saturday, which I feel like a lot of people watch judging by the social media reaction. And PSG goes back-to-back. They won the Champions League last year and beat Arsenal in penalty kicks to win it. And Arsenal, who won the Premier League for the first time in 22 years, were looking for the double, it's called, right? When you win two trophies, they call it the double. And this is a really big one, right? To win your domestic league and win the Champions League. And Arsenal came very, very close. Despite playing a brand of soccer that is difficult to watch, Arsenal are basically trying to win games 1-0 or 2-1, play extremely defensive. And it was kind of an eyes bleed type of game against a PSG squad that plays free-flowing soccer and played against Bayern Munich in the semifinal round. Bayern Munich, the best team in Germany. A 5-4 semifinal game that some people thought was one of the best soccer matches of all time. Up and down, lots of scoring. That's not how Arsenal play. So PSG win. Note on PSG, who under Luis Enrique have won back-to-back Champions Leagues. They're the only team in the modern era to go back-to-back along with Cristiano Ronaldo and Zinedine Zidane's Real Madrid, who won in 16, 17, and 18. So this is an all-time PSG team. And just, we'll get back to them in a second. But just on Arsenal, I know that there are a lot of American Arsenal fans. Not impossible that Arsenal can get back next year. We have seen twice in the last 15 years a team lose a Champions League final one year and get back to the Champions League final and win it the following year. In 2012, Bayern Munich lost to Chelsea, my favorite team, in penalties at the Allianz, Bayern's home arena, lost the Champions League final as a big favorite. Arjen Robben, the former Dutch player, was the GOAT in that game, and GOAT meaning he's one of the reasons they lost, was the scapegoat, and then scored the winner the next year as Bayern beat domestic competition Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League final. So Bayern lose in 12, win in 13. We saw Liverpool in 18 lose Mo Salah to injury early on against Real Madrid and lose that final to Madrid in Madrid's third of three straight. And then the next year get back and beat domestic competition Tottenham Hotspur in the Champions League final. So history says Arsenal can do it, just to say that to the American Arsenal fan. Now, PSG have gone back to back. And what is very fascinating about that is they have done it without the best French player, Kylian Mbappe, who has starred for country, right? Was one of the best players in 18 when France won the World Cup. Had a hat trick in the 22 final and was barely bested by Leo Messi in Argentina. So yeah, all-time great player, right? But for club, while he has been spectacular, his teams have not won the big one. His PSG teams won Ligue 1, the French domestic league, every year, never won the Champions League. Get sold to Real Madrid. Now Real Madrid can't win the Champions League, and PSG has won two in a row. And that takes us to this year's World Cup, where the betting market has corrected itself literally in the last 48 hours. I tweeted after the Champions League final, France needs to be favored to win the World Cup. Spain, who won the European Championship and beat France in the semis a couple years ago, was the sole favorite. Now at BetMGM, we have co-favorites. Spain plus 450, France plus 450. I think one of those two teams will win, and I'll give you more on the other teams that I think can potentially win. It's a small pool of teams that can actually win. Those are the two most likely. I think France is better. And I bet Spain a couple years ago instead of France. France's backups, like their backup starting 11, would probably make the semifinals of the tournament. One last run for coaching great Didier Deschamps, who has won a World Cup, both as a coach and a player, one in 98 for the team that beat Brazil in France to win the championship, and then coached France in 2018. Star players everywhere, and you know Mbappe comes to play for country. Give me France plus 450 to win the World Cup. More on the World Cup as we approach the tournament. And I have a note on Christian Pulisic in the United States. We'll do that tomorrow on the show. Kenny, let's drop the dope-ass beat quickly. I have one bet that I will give out for tonight. So one Major League Baseball bet for me, and again, like we just went so long on the NBA, we'll do baseball on the show tomorrow. Didn't get to a lot of it today. How about the New York Mets? Winners of four straight games. I don't think they're going to the playoffs, but they're playing better. The Seattle Mariners are now in first place in the American League West. Feels like about time. Pretty big favorites tonight against the Metropolitans, who are rolling coming into this game. Give me the Mets at a plus price tonight on the road in Seattle. The Metropolitans plus 120 at BetMGM to beat the Mariners in Seattle. That does it for the Magnificent Sports Monday edition of the show. I will talk to all of you tomorrow on a terrific Sports Tuesday when perhaps A.J. Brown will be a New England Patriots. Our good friends.
This is Westwood One Sports.
Liberty Mutual, we love helping people with things like customizing car insurance, just like how we customize a song for you. Catered country tune. Liberty Mutual, saving you bucks by protecting your truck. Cause Birdie told me to only pay for what I need. Thank you, Limu. Always trust a Limu with Liberty, 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 Liberty.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer at a beverage manufacturing plant, he starts his day knowing every line is ready to run. Because Grainger delivers the industrial-grade products he needs to keep mixers, conveyors, and packaging equipment moving. With Grainger's vast selection of bearings, belts, and motors, he keeps operations running smoothly, so nothing grinds to a halt. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the
trial. Paid for by Sheer Science.
You're listening to Westwood One Sports on WFAN-FM HD2 New York. And on-